Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity, for this privilege, Father, to speak to your people. I pray, Father, that this message, that this be from you, God, that these be your words, not mine. I surrender to you, Lord. I submit myself to you, to be used by you, Lord. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, every time Pastor asked me to do this, it really, I'm honored by it. It humbles me. I just go, there's got to be someone more qualified than me. I mean, who am I? But I also know that God can use anyone and absolutely anything to accomplish his will, his purpose, to get his message across. And I believe that this is his message for us tonight. And I tell you that because I'm not an expert on what we're going to talk about. I'm not perfect. We just sang about God being perfect in all his ways, and he absolutely is. But Josh Neal is not. But put your faith in him, not me. So the older I get, the more I'm just brought to this place of total surrender. The longer I live life and the more I experience God's grace and his mercy and his love, the more I step back and think, wow, why me, Lord? Thank you. Thank you for your blessings on my life. It's as if the farther I get removed from the old me and that worldly me, and the I can really see how far he's taken me and where he's brought me. I truly am thankful for what Jesus has done. And if you don't know this, then I'm going to tell you right now, he is no respecter of persons. If he's taken my life and blessed me and done good things for me, he will do for you as well. You just got to just let him be Lord. The sacrifice that he made for me, for you, just fills me with passion and gratitude. And sometimes I just find myself wanting to shout amen or to just fall on my knees and worship because I'm overcome. But, you know, sometimes I'm in what we wouldn't consider the right place to do that. Like I may be listening to music or a sermon at work, and they may think I've lost it if they can't hear what's going on in my ears and I just start shouting. So, you know, I don't know, maybe sometimes some of you feel that way. And I think that comes from knowing who you are and whose you are. And so, if you're not absolutely sure in that, let's take a minute and see what the Bible says about whose we are. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is the will of God that everyone repent of their sins." And as Romans 10:9-10 says, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And finally, 1 Corinthians 6:20, "For you are bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God." He paid the ultimate price for us. Everything that we are, everything that we have belongs to him. We should use it to glorify him. So that's whose you are, or at least a short summary of whose you are. What about who you are? Jesus said in John 8:36, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Now, if you open your Bible and turn to that, there's not an exclamation point at the end, and there's a period on the screen as well. But in my notes, I put an exclamation point after that because I can't read that verse and just kind of monotone, like, yeah, you're going to be free indeed. It's to me, that's a big deal. It gets me excited. That's one of those things that makes me want to shout amen. Amen. Paul said to the Galatians in 3:26, he said, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." And we should know this, that we have a place in our Father's house. Jesus said in John 14:2 that there are many mansions, and if he were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That's a big deal. We've got a place in heaven that Jesus is preparing for us. That should get you excited. And we're not going to read all these verses, but we're made righteous by his blood. That's in Romans 5:9. We're forgiven. It's in Colossians 3:13. 1 Corinthians 7:17 says we're called. Isaiah 53:5 says we're healed. Jeremiah 17:7 says we're blessed. And Psalm 5:12 says we're surrounded by favor. That's what the sovereign God of the whole universe has to say about each and every one of us. And there's even more. I mean, we could keep going, but I assume that y'all get the point. It's good. And Romans 4:17, he calls things which are not as though they were. There's a term that's used for the way God created the whole earth, and I may or may not pronounce this right, so y'all forgive me, but it's called ex nihilo, something out of nothing. He just spoke. And if he has the power to do that, to create this whole universe by just speaking, then you need to know that what he says about you throughout the rest of Scripture is absolutely true as well. So don't let Satan deceive you and tell you that was only for that particular person, or it was only for the Galatians or the Ephesians or the Corinthians. That's not true. It's for us still today, too. We have, because if you look at who we are, we have a reason to shout out and praise, to reverently kneel and worship, and to tell others what he's done for us. You know, I often find daily encouragement. Sometimes I'm even challenged by just listening to praise and worship music. You know, there's a lot of songs out there that are based on Scripture. And I hear those and it really challenges me. And one here lately that I know it's been out for a while, but I hear it often is by Hillsong Worship called "So Will I." And I hear about, you know, they sing about all of creation, all of these things that God made, and they're just saying that, you know, these things, they don't have a soul. They don't have any mental capacity to realize the cross and what it means, and yet they worship God. They declare his glory. Why not me? I can too. This story in Luke 19 where Jesus is coming into Jerusalem and some Pharisees, they want him to rebuke his disciples because they're shouting Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. But Jesus told them that if these should keep silent, then the stones would immediately cry out. Now, I don't know how much time you all spend looking at rocks, but they don't do much. They sit there and they're rocks. And unless somebody or something moves them, that's all they do. But the Bible says that our God is so worthy that if we stop praising Him, that the rocks are going to do it. That every time I read that, and I don't know how many times I've read it, I always stop and audibly the word wow comes out of my mouth. It's hard for me to articulate the way that makes me feel and the things that I realize when I think about all the rest of creation is gonna praise God if I don't do it. If you know who you are, and if you have a relationship with the Father, and you know the Savior, then you have the opportunity, and we could even say the privilege or the responsibility of being Christ to someone else every day. It may be your wife, your husband, one of your kids, a friend, a coworker, or maybe a complete stranger. But it may be that you are the only one that day that gets to be Christ to them. Don't let that scare you. I think you should be excited about that, because He gives us the words to say. He gives us the strength, the courage to do what we need to do for Him to accomplish His will. If we're going to love others like Jesus, we have to become more like Him. And for me, this starts with total surrender. A declaration that He is Lord of my life. You know, we've been singing a song for, I guess, the last couple of months. I'm not really great with estimating time, but Have It All. And that's one of those that challenges me. I want to get to the place where that's not a declaration of something said in faith, but it is something I can say, Lord, have it all. This is all yours. And know that He is in absolute, complete control every single part of my life. And I think that we have to start with our pride. If we're going to surrender to Him, if we're going to let Him have it all, it has to be our pride that we give up first. And then everything after that is going to get easier. You know, I can honestly stand up here and tell you that life is so much better carrying Jesus's yoke than my own. That it's better to trust Him, to lean on Him, to believe on Him. And that doesn't mean that everything is easier, that it's all sunshine and rainbows, but rather it's a hope and a knowing that the object of my faith is greater than any circumstance or obstacle that I'll come up against. We all know this. The storms will come, but with our faith in the right place, we can and will come through them. I'll give you a funny example of that. Last week I was mowing the yard. Got my headphones in, trucking along, sweating. I run over a popsicle wrapper. No doubt compliments to one of the tiny people that live in my house that left it outside. And it was one of those things, you know, if you're just going and all of a sudden it's too late, bend over and pick it up, and it just comes right out the other side, like nothing even happened to it. And it made me think, here's this lawnmower turning, I don't know how fast, that's intended purpose is just to chop things up into bits. And it just spits this popsicle wrapper out. And I thought, you know, because that wrapper was flexible or pliable, that the storm of the mower didn't affect it. It just came right on through. And we need to be that way. We're on the potter's wheel. He's molding us. We've got to let him do that. No, we can't tell him what he needs to do. Let him be in control. Now, some of you may think that an example of a popsicle wrapper and a mower is a bit strange. So I'll give you a more personal example of a storm. Many of you know the miracle of the healing of our daughter Nora, and how she couldn't hear when she was born, and literally on the other side of this platform, she was prayed for and was healed that moment. And because of that, she can hear. And that was a great miracle that happened almost so fast, we didn't have time to be or think much about being in a battle. It just happened. And we thought, this is fantastic. This is all over and done with. Well, last fall, we began this back and forth battle with strep throat and fever and being up all night. And just, she was sick constantly. It ended up, she had her tonsils removed, her adenoids removed, tubes placed in her ears. And all the while, we're thinking, okay, this is the issue. Well, it turns out that wasn't it, that it was actually food allergies. But because of it, she has hearing loss right now. Now, it would be real easy for us to stand up and go, no, that's not fair, or why, or to blame God, to be mad. But none of that's happened in our house. There's only been an attitude and a believing that God is still in control of this situation. And that we know when this battle's over that he will be glorified. And to me, I find encouragement, and I'm truly challenged by her faith. She's 4 years old, and she doesn't get upset when there's something that she wants that she can't have right now because of her food allergies. She doesn't go, I can't have that, and stomp and roll around on the floor like toddlers can do. She says, when I get better, I can have that. She's speaking faith over her life at 4 years old. To me, I'm going, I gotta get better at this. I mean, we believe that her hearing loss will be temporary, that her hearing aids will not be a permanent thing that she will have to wear. And like I said, God will get all the glory. And don't get me wrong, we are absolutely thankful for her doctor. But where did he get the wisdom and the intelligence to do his job? It's not man-made. It's a blessing from God. So knowing whose you are and who you are, where you're going, and when you can recognize all that's been done for you, you can confidently share with other people this love of Christ. I've seen this in my own life go to a deeper and deeper level as I'm further removed from things that are not of God, that I just really appreciate more and more Jesus. But I also see how easily I can regress if I open the door even a little bit. And it's a daily thing that you have to be diligent about. You know, the Bible says that it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. It can be this accumulation of little small things that can build a wall between you and God. And that wall can lead to ambivalence. And I think that's a real scary place to be. And I never want to go there. So, in light of little things, I'm going to mess with you for a minute. But as Pastor Mark often tells us, it's because I love you. So, and I really do. I love y'all. Y'all are my church family. And I don't know where I'd be without y'all. It's important what we watch on TV, the music we listen to, the people we allow to have influence in our lives, the things we say, and even what we think. Some of y'all might be like, you know, he told that nice story about his daughter and how sweet that was, and now he's messing. I'm not going to be able to watch what I want to on Netflix when I get home. It's what the Bible says. In Luke 11, 33 through 36, this is in red, so it must be important. Jesus talks about our eye being the light to our body. We have to be careful what we take in through our eyes. In Ephesians 5:19, Paul talks about speaking to one another in spiritual songs and hymns. It's as if he's telling us we need to be surrounded by Christian music and sermons even. Just constantly taking that in and not things of this world. That's our hearing. And you know, I think probably every time I've been up here, I've mentioned this, but I've seen the incredible impact it's had in my life. And I want y'all to see it too. When I made the decision that I would not listen to anything else but Christian radio, the changes in the rest of my life blew me away. You can't think about the things of the kingdom if you're listening to other junk. And I know some of you might not believe me. Okay, well, I dare you to try it for 6 months. Just do it and see what happens. People have influence in our lives. The relationships we have absolutely make a difference. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, that we are not to be deceived, that bad company will corrupt good morals. James, the first part of James 3, he talks about our tongue and how it's small, but it can make such a big difference. We have to be diligent in guarding our tongue, bridling it, having control over the things that come out of our mouth. And Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 10:5 that they are to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Again, another song that we've been singing lately, I told you I listen to them all the time, so they have such an impact on my life. Pray that God will stir a passion in you, a fire that will burn in you, that leave behind only what's of Him and what He wants. One that'll overflow with love for other people. You want to know what Jesus is passionate about? It's His church. That's what He suffered and died for. That's what He's coming back for. It's not a place or a building. It's not even a particular religion. It's people. We read earlier that it's God's will that all will come to repentance. When He comes back, He wants all of us to be in His kingdom. God is love, and He loves people. In fact, He loved people so much that He was born into this world as a baby. The one that the Bible says in John 1 that He was there at the beginning, and there was not anything that was made except what was made through Him. And then He comes to this world as a helpless infant for us because He loves us. He grew up, had a ministry where He went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. He suffered and died on a cross for us, fulfilling some of the most spine-tingling, hair-raising prophecy in Isaiah 53. You know what He's doing now? He's sitting at the right hand of God, praying for you and for me, because He loves us. He gave His life for people, for you and for me, so that we could be called the children of God. We need to tell other people that He loves them, because not everybody knows. I think that song that we were talking about earlier by Hillsong Worship sums it up pretty good. If you gladly chose surrender, so will I. I can see your heart 8 billion different ways. Every precious one, a child you died to save. If you gave your life to love them, so will I. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for confidence and for an assurance to know that we are who You say we are. We thank You for filling us, Father, with a passion for Your kingdom, for Your people. Give us a heart, Father, to love like You love, a heart to serve and to see You glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.